CZ FM Stereo. 24/7. ZFM Stereo.
Lionel Messi has conquered his final peak. Lionel Messi has shaken hands with paradise. Argentina, champions of the world, and a nation will tango all night long.
It's time for the biggest sports stories.
Max Verstappen has taken the checkered flag to win the Japanese Grand Prix.
Max Verstappen, two-time world champion.
The biggest interviews.
She's a happy tears, I guess. I don't know. And I wouldn't be Serena if it wasn't Venus, so thank you, Venus.
And all the analysis right here.
There's no question that LeBron James, at the worst, is a top three player in the history of basketball since the game was invented. I don't want to hear that. It's just blasphemous. Let you finish. I'll let you talk.
Every weekday, it's my sport, it's your sport, it's ZFM Sport. Let's join the team for the biggest show in the world of sport on ZFM Stereo. My station, your station.
It's a Friday and we made it to the weekend, everybody. The weekend means that there is a bumper action in store, meaning that it is a bumper show on ZFM Sport, and the team has congregated. Mike Madoda, Chris Meadzi, Sean Tafirinyika. My name is Barry Menandi. In our show, India win the ICC Under-19 Cricket World Cup at RS Sports Club after putting up a mammoth total in the final against England.
Why take the single when you can do that?
Well, that boundary makes it the highest total of this World Cup as well.
All right, and then more cricket. The ICC T20 World Cup gets underway tomorrow with Netherlands taking on Pakistan.
But we're opening the tournament on Saturday in the morning. It's the Netherlands versus Pakistan in Colombo. I can't come up with a scenario or a story or a theory as to how the Netherlands go and beat Pakistan.
And in football, there is a tasty affair in prospect as Liverpool and Manchester City headline the action in the major leagues of Europe.
Oh, we have a tasty match, don't we? Always tasty. Liverpool versus Man City at Anfield. Both clubs kind of in this same state of recent poor results, but also some good results, but also a lot of injuries. Two weakened teams meeting.
Z. 0772-168-045 is the number. Big one this weekend, Mikey. Liverpool takes on Manchester City. It means a lot anytime they collide, but especially this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Liverpool can't afford to drop points and sort of like be cut adrift from the chasing pack. The good thing for Liverpool is that the match is at Anfield.
Yeah.
It's a place where they've dominated Man City over the years. It's a place they've dominated many teams over the years.
Yeah.
And so I think that'll be the one relief. Keep an eye, of course, on Florian Wirtz. He's beginning to blossom now in the English Premier
Looking
League.
Looking good.
I think he scored, what is it, about six goals in his last 10 matches, finding assists regularly as well. So he could be a key player in this game.
He certainly could. And I know we'll talk about it in a moment or two, but India doing the job. But kudos to Zimbabwe cricket hosting a pretty good World Cup for the under-19s.
Yeah, definitely. I think as far as tournaments go, I think this one has been pretty much smooth, except for the rain at the start.
Yeah.
So kudos to Zimbabwe cricket.
Yeah, certainly. 0772-168-045. Here's our power play.
I listen to my mom radio. ZFM Stereo. The home front. Local sports news and analysis.
Okay, let's get into it and talk about the Under-19 World Cup, which came to a brilliant conclusion in Harare today, where Vaibhav Suryavanshi gave the latest demonstration of his prodigious talent with a record-breaking innings in Harare as India completed a dominant run at the Under-19 World Cup, swatting aside England's challenge to lift the trophy for the sixth time. The tale of the tape, England batting first. England were India batting first. Get it right. India batting first. 411 for 9. Vaibhav Suryavanshi scoring 175. Ayush Matri, the captain, scoring 53. You have to be careful with that with that name. James Minto taking 3 for 63. And then England trying to catch that mammoth total. No chance. They perished on 311 all out. Caleb Faulkner with 115 creditable, but not enough. Ben Dawkins with a 66, and RS Ambrish taking 3 for 56, meaning that India won by a very balanced 100 runs. They have been brilliant, but in particular, Suryavanshi, 14 years old. What a performance, Mikey.
Yeah, absolutely. Phenomenal performance on the grandest stage. I think just announcing himself to the world, what a talent he is. 411 was always going to be a tough chase for England. They did start rather well, and I think they were keeping track of the run rate. But the problem for England was the fact that they had then a period where they lost too many wickets too quickly. With that, of course, it spelled the end for England, because it was 4 for 174, then 5 for 174, 6 for 177, 7 for 177, before, of course, that massive contribution by Faulkner, who went on, of course, to score a century. But those four wickets they lost at a critical time when they were actually on top of the game. As far as the run rate and the comparison with India, they were ahead of the game. But when you lose four wickets, four key wickets at a key stage of the game, you're never going to be able to pull it out of the fire. And so England, I think, were good enough for the chase, but their approach was not exactly the best. Because once you get ahead of the run rate, you remove the scoreboard pressure. It means you don't have to be gung-ho all the time. It means that you can actually have a measured approach during the middle section of the innings and then go helter-skelter at the end with wickets in hand. So the approach was a bit ill-informed, and I think it's the reason why they lost this game.
Yeah, but naive to try and go gung-ho the whole way. Suppose when you've...
A reflection of their senior team. Because that's been the big criticism of baseball, isn't it? It's just sometimes borders on foolishness and recklessness, where you're not assessing the game as it unfolds, but rather you're just sticking to the approach that, okay, we play aggressive cricket and we're going to go hard all the time.
And I suppose when you've watched Suryavanshi, a 14-year-old, smash 175 off 80 balls at the rate of knots, your mentality is challenged, because sometimes, you know, there's this human thing when you've seen someone, it's like when you're on the road, if you see someone speeding and you've got the right music on and you're driving the right car, chances are you're going to put foot just to sort of match. And I think England fell into that trap, but the credit should definitely go to Suryavanshi, because had it not been for the fact that no one could keep up with him in the India innings, they would have hit 500 easy.
Definitely. And I think that matching energy that you're talking about, when you see it across the way, that's what you want to replicate. And it's a real challenge, I think, especially because this is an under-19 Cricket World Cup. So most of the players are a little bit older than him. This is a 14-year-old. And he's able to do this off 80 balls. 175 off 80 balls. So I think just taking a look at that, you're going to be challenged. And when the approach, the overall approach of the team, like Mike was saying, is we you know, bash these out and we play really hard, bordering on recklessness, then I think it even adds fuel to the fire in that scenario. And so I think England kind of fell into that, and as a result they weren't able to keep up with India at all, just from an approach perspective.
Barry, the foundation was there, because Ben Dawkins at the top of the order scored 66, run rate 117. Joseph Moore's got a start, he scored 17. Ben Mays 45. Thomas Roo, the skipper, he made 31. And so they were getting starts, but they just didn't manage to convert. So look, when you have a guy scoring 175 for off, what is it, 80 balls, strike rate of 218, the approach is not to try and match him.
No, it's not.
You don't match him. But what you can do is you can have two or three contributions that will make up for his contribution.
That match up.
And so what England needed was another one of the guys who got a start to convert, especially at the top there. Ben Dawkins, having got to 66, should have stuck around for a bit longer. Langer and tried to convert that into a century. And then, of course, your Ben Mays as well. He was going great. Ultimately, I think Caleb Falconer, he came in, actually, during the middle of the fall of wickets. I think he smashed his second ball for a six. He just set his intent out early, and he was always going to go down fighting because he smashed his 115 off 67, strike rate off 171. So he needed one of the guys in the top order, in the top seven of England,
to back that,
to have at least converted at the top of the order, and then they would have had a chance because he was coming in at, what was it, number five, and he showed that he had the firepower to get England over the line.
And in truth, these totals, a very exciting final, because anytime you've got a chase of 4-11 and you perish with 100 to go, I think is telling that this was an exciting tournament, exciting finish to the tournament as well.
And also just taking a look at that Indian kid, I think he just showed the world why he plays in the IPL.
In the IPL.
And why he's able to, of course, be one of the great hopes of Indian cricket. Because if you're able to stare down the likes of Josh Hazlewood, if you're able to stare down the likes of Khagiso Rabada in a full men's competition and score big in that competition, surely you expect to dominate
on the same side
at this level. Yeah, you're able to dominate at this level.
100% he can. And this must have been like military medium for him.
Bigger like a pumpkin.
100%. One last word from you, Chris. I think that Zimbabwe cricket, look, if we had the opportunity to say, yeah, we'll host, but we actually don't want to participate, I think the tournament would have been a resounding success. The only challenge is that the co-hosts, you know, they petered out, to be fair, which sort of put a fly in the ointment, but Zim Cricket did a decent job of hosting.
Yeah, definitely. I think when you just take a look at putting up a tournament like this, obviously takes a lot in the way of logistics, a lot in the way of organization, and for Zim Cricket to put it up without incident, I think really great. I think that initial sort of the rain wiping out the initial few matches, I think sort of, you know, we were a bit disappointed with that, but I think they were able to carry on and put on
happy with
a
that,
good tournament.
Because that rain caused Zimbabwe to get
into the Super Sixes. It helped us a little bit. It helped us a little bit, but kudos to Zim Cricket. Things didn't go right in the way of, you know, actually playing the tournament, but in terms of hosting, I think we can definitely give them their credit.
The one thing about tournaments like this, even with these sort of like disparaging defeats, I think what they do is they really let us know where we are.
Yes,
and then it then becomes what does Zimbabwe cricket do to try and close the gap?
To fix it.
Because it's quite clear that there is a gap between us and the leading nations.
Gulf, yeah.
But what do we do now to close that gulf in the next few years? Do you have a plan? We're not saying, hey, we're going to be as good as India, as good as England or Australia in the next 2 or 3 years. That's never going to happen. Yeah. So we have to be realistic about that. But what we can do is come up with a plan, long-term plan, to say how best can we close the gulf. We might not catch up, but how do we turn thrashings into competitive matches?
Yes.
How do we turn innings defeats and 10 wicket defeats into games where we are losing by 50, losing by a couple of wickets, where we are a lot closer and where it means something meaningful to play Zimbabwe?
Yeah, and that would be progress. That's all I think we want to see at this stage is progress. But we were hosting a phenomenal tournament, the ICC Cricket World, Under-19 Cricket World Cup. It came to a conclusion today with India hoisting the trophy aloft and being crowned champions. If you're calling the ICC offices, the headquarters, the phone won't be answered because nobody's there. Some are in Zimbabwe and some are getting ready to host the T20 World Cup. We're talking about that straight after Local Sports News Roundup with Chris.
Stay right where you are. Move to the groove of the nation. The Home Front. Local sports news and analysis.
Start off with some netball news. Zimbabwe senior netball star Thandazile Ndlovu has made history by becoming the first local to play at the Netball Super League in Singapore after landing a contract at Swifts. The correctional Queen's goal shooter, who will be joining the Asian club for season 2026, is set to depart later this month to link up with her team for a brief pre-season. In bodybuilding news, bodybuilder Tinotenda Ryan Gumbo has ended his two-year hiatus from active competition and will return to the stage this year on both the local and international international scenes. The fitness first gym athlete was away for 2 years pursuing studies in Cape Town, South Africa. Gumbo, the owner of Trisups, a nutrition and supplement shop, said he's back and looking forward to the 2026 season. Finish off with news out of the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League. Following weeks of speculation, Chicken Inn have officially announced the signing of midfielder Vasili Kawe, who was previously with Scotland. Kawe is a trusted lieutenant of head coach Tondera Ndiraya, having worked with him at both Simbabora and Scotland. The duo enjoyed significant success at those clubs, winning consecutive league titles.
We're turning up the beats.
I just need
your hit music station.
Let's go!
I'm no good at goodbye.
For hit music, it's the...
From the front of the grid to the back of the net, it's ZFM Sport. International Sports News Roundup, where the world comes out to play.
Right, let's move from junior cricket to full international cricket. And we're talking, of course, of the T20 World Cup, which gets underway. Now, the Chevrons say that their four-wicket defeat to Oman in the final warm-up match in Sri Lanka did not faze the team much, as they have accomplished their spy mission of gaining valuable insights into the lesser-known opposition ahead of their Group B ICC Men's T20 World Cup opener in Colombo, Sri Lanka on Monday. The group also has Australia, Ireland, and the host Sri Lanka. We did talk about this result here, and look, guys, I want to start with you, Barry, here. They talk about the spy mission, they talk about gaining valuable insights, but it's better to do both on the back of a winning performance.
Well, and by beating those that you're supposed to beat. These guys are ranked, I think it's at 18, 20 places behind us. So these are teams we ought to dispatch with abandon. Unfortunately, we left the game, kept the game close. Our bowling, which is normally a strong suit for us, was atrocious and abominable. The hope is that the coaching team, the entire crew of the Chevrons, have learnt a few lessons in terms of if Kanavaka Derera, they learnt that you don't do that.
Right, let's go now to, of course, a preview of the T20 World Cup. And we start by taking a look at the group, starting with Group A, which has got the eternal rivals of India and Pakistan, joined by the United States of America, the Netherlands, and Namibia.
In Group B, you'll find the talents of Australia, Sri Lanka, Ireland, Zimbabwe, and Oman.
In Group C is England, West Indies, Bangladesh, Nepal, and Italy.
And of course, Group D completes the groups, and it features the Black Caps of New Zealand, the Proteas of South Africa, Afghanistan, Canada, as well as the United Arab Emirates. A total of 40 group matches will be played between February 7th through to the 20th, with the top two sides from each group then progressing to the Super 8s phase of the tournament that commences on February 21. So that'll be the business end of the World Cup. The top four sides are at the completion of the Super 8s qualify for the knockout stages of the event, where the semi-finals will be held in Kolkata as well as Colombo and Mumbai, ahead of the title decider on March the 8th in Ahmedabad or Colombo. Right. We've talked about Zimbabwe, but I think it's only fair, of course, that we take a look at the favourites. It's a subcontinent tournament, Chris, meaning that, of course, you can't really look past India.
Yeah, definitely. And I think they really arrive under sort of a thundercloud, lots of expectation there. Their strength lies largely in, you know, how much batting talent that they've got there. Spin arsenal as well, suited to slow turning tracks, and their top order can scorch the power play while the spinners squeeze the middle overs like a vice. So they've got home familiarity there as well. A lot of crowd energy, so they're going to have that raucous home support. And also, I think when you're taking a look at what might be their drawback, their pressure, I think we've seen them crumble a few times when there's a lot of expectation that weight can really really, I think, make them stumble.
Oh, well, talk about pressure. One side that really embraces pressure, Barry, and that always seems to rise to the occasion at World Cups,
yeah,
whatever World Cup it is,
yep,
is Australia.
Yeah, Australia, when they arrive at any World Cup, as you point out, ICC events, they invariably go out and they win the tournament. And in truth, they're, when you look at their arsenal, as Chris was talking about, their attack, it blends a raw pace with clever variations, and their batters thrive in high-stakes chases. And they have an uncanny ability to bat probably the deepest in world cricket. A bowler, a supposed bowler,
can come in and smash 50. For the fences.
100%. So they are absolutely, you can't consider any favourites without talking about Australia.
Absolutely. We also, of course, have got England. They do have, of course, a blueprint that's built on aggression, especially over the last few years under Brendan McCallum. It'll be interesting to see how they go about their World Cup. But I want to talk about South Africa, because I feel South Africa have really matured over the last two or three years in international cricket, in all versions of the game. They've just come off a warm-up series versus West Indies in which they showed glimpses of what they're capable of doing. And what are some of the qualities, Chris, that you think will be able to thrust the Proteas into the conversation?
I think South Africa definitely loaded with some power hitters, sharp quicks, and I think they generally play a fearless brand of cricket, especially at the group stages. So when they get that momentum, they can really tear through any team. Lots of balance. Their fielding as well, I think, coming in a good part there in terms of just maintaining and saving some crucial runs. And also, closing big knockout game has historically haunted them, unfortunately. But I think when you're just taking a look at a balance across all facets of the game, South Africa's doing really well across.
And that balance is also in leadership. Themba Bavuma has been doing a phenomenal job in leading this side, whether it is in play or in action. He's done a phenomenal job.
Well, I want to stay with you, Barry, and we often take a look at tournaments and there'll always be sort of like two or three things that you can look to say that these are the things that will confront every team that is at the tournament, at least all the teams that harbour hopes of winning the tournament. What do you think will be the deciding factors at this World Cup? The two or three things that every team is going to have to get right or at least master to win the World Cup?
Okay, so you talked about it being a subcontinent World Cup, then you need spin to win. The slow pitches, they reward teams with elite spinners and smart strike rotation. So I think that is certainly what you have to have in your back pocket. And then the death overs, the final four overs will write many matches, match stories, because I think especially when we get through the group stages where some are mismatches, when the teams start to get closer, you're going to stay close for a period, but those final four overs, you have
to be
able to
decide
the match.
That's where the boundary hitters come into play. The teams 100%. With boundary hitters, so we've got guys who can swing for the fences and clear them.
Yeah.
That's the difference between making 40 in the final four and making 70.
100%. Mm. And then for the fielding side, if they've got bowlers that can restrict those runs and constrict you, they're also going to get the benefit of that. So the death overs are absolutely clear key. And then, of course, the nerve. In T20 cricket, skills opens the door, but the composure walks through it. So for me, I think that because it's, we always say, the shorter the format, the closer the teams.
100%.
Okay, because it cuts down. Your skill level is
you're having to perform over 30 minutes.
100%.
Yeah.
So it's about, can you keep your nerve? Can you hold? Let's go back to 2007. We beat Australia. Zimbabwe beat Australia in South Africa. And that was just as a result of being able to keep our nerve, be brave, and play with a reckless abandon almost.
All right, send us your predictions. Who do you think will win it all at the T20 World Cup? It's early days yet. There's still, of course, several weeks to go until the tournament is decided, but we want to hear your predictions. That's 0772-168-045. Weekend matches to look forward to. The Netherlands and Pakistan get the action underway. Scotland versus the West Indies. The United States will take on the might of India. Afghanistan versus New Zealand could be a balanced affair. England versus Nepal. And then, of course, Sri Lanka will take on Ireland.
Hi, my name's Ryan Cairns, Sunshine Tour professional golfer, and you're listening to ZFM Sport. Around the world in 60 seconds. International sports news.
We take off in Paris, where France got their Six Nations title defence off to an ideal start as they put a sorry Ireland to the sword with a 36-14 victory at the Stade de France. In London, British tennis star Jack Draper has made a winning return after being sidelined for a lengthy spell by injury, playing for the first time since having to withdraw from the US Open last year against Norway in Davis Cup qualifying. In Arizona, Matt Fitzpatrick birdied 7 of his first 8 holes, but finished the first day of the Phoenix Open just 2 strokes off the lead after failing to maintain his hot start. And in California, where we touched down, to the Seattle Seahawks are expected to have Nick Emmanuel available for Sunday's Super Bowl despite a late injury scare for the star defender.
Summertime. 80s in the 80s.
80 degrees and getting hotter.
90s in the 90s.
92 today and blue skies.
And hotties from the 90s to today. Summertime. York's summer variety.
I love it.
Rock it on. CFM Stereo is untouchable. Fan Zone. Get in touch with the team and have your say your way.
Operator.
Our Fan Zone on a Friday is driven by your predictions, so do send us your thoughts. Who's going to win the T20 World Cup, which gets underway with that game between the Netherlands and Pakistan? The Sultans off swing. Very unpredictable. Let's see what they can pull off at the T20 World Cup. Can they win it, or will it be India who go into this tournament as favourites? The under-19 boys have already shown the way. Can they follow suit? Let's start with a message from Eastview. This is Tawanda. Good evening. You say, just like the under-19 boys, India is going to win the T20 World Cup. Football predictions here. Liverpool 3, Man City 2, and India will win the T20 World Cup. This is Elliot Choto, Pachihota. Right, interesting. As guys, these days, you're too quiet about the Z Fantasy League. Murugu Jiwa, this is Vala Mogalas. I'm tipping India to win the World Cup. Taps in Marondera. I haven't even changed my team.
I'm not even in it this year.
Since when? Since we were in Morocco.
Yes, same.
Before Morocco.
I think the last time I updated my team, we were probably on the way to the airport.
Yeah. Where are you guys now in the league?
I haven't even checked. Because you know what? Sometimes you get so busy.
Yeah.
Totally forget. And then to try and recover now is just ridiculous. But we'll have a glimpse and see where we are.
So I think I'm in the relegation zone.
I think so.
And they only got 3 teams out.
Leroy Tsuro from Tableview out in Cape Town. Good evening. You say, best sports team, Anze Pasiri no Maswera say. And he goes, Anze, form 1, Chokwada Avarume. Anze Chango Funga Kuti Kujali Ndiko Kune Age Cheating. Ndating Gatimbo. So he's talking about this kid, 14 years old, making 175 from 79 balls.
Yeah, look. Listen, I think the systems out in India are a little more, they have a little more rigor. I'm tempted to think that, yeah, look, he's a genuine prodigy.
Yeah. But tell me something, aside from, I'm going to go to a different spectrum of the age, whole age discussion in sport. I've been very disappointed with Zimbabweans, with our cynicism and, our mockery of older players. We will celebrate Zlatan Ibrahimovic for playing long, for playing into his 40s. We'll celebrate Cristiano Ronaldo.
41.
What is he now? 41, yeah. 42 years old. We'll celebrate those players and say, oh, they've had long, storied careers and they're still cutting it at the top level. We celebrated Gigi Buffon for being a goalkeeper at the age of 40. And yet we consistently mocked and ridiculed Tapua Kapini over the course of his career. And we questioned his age instead of celebrating that, okay, look, dude, if you're still playing and you're in your 40s, yep, you're phenomenal.
Why do we do that?
Well. Yeah.
And the challenge is that we disparage guys who are
still okay. 35, guys, is still okay.
Yeah, yeah.
35, 36, you're still okay. But Madara.
And also, it doesn't, I think what we were talking about just in terms of skill, the skill doesn't disappear.
Yes.
It's what you are able to do with your body. So pace, for example, will go.
Yeah.
Your recovery time with injury will go. It'll get longer and longer. But in terms of the skill and what you're able to do, and also just in terms of decision-making, in game, I think all those things still remain with you. It's just unfortunate we all just chuck it out with your age.
All right, and guys, Sanza, can you clarify these two issues? Number one, are Bangladesh still in the World Cup? I think the answer is no. And then they were replaced by Scotland. And then number two, have the ICC made a decision on the Pakistan versus India game and what would happen if they meet in the knockout stages? I think Pakistan have said that they don't want to play India.
India.
And so this is they've been encouraged to play, but they're saying they don't want to play. So let's have a look at how this one unfolds. They're willing to give up the points, Pakistan.
They're in the same group. So.
Yeah. But they don't want to play.
Uncomfortable.
But someone's got to stand up to India.
Yeah.
And I back Pakistan's stance that it doesn't matter whether you bring the most dollars, but your dollars that don't mean that you have to bully everyone into doing things your way. And Zim Oaks, Anzi, have my data trauma, hence Anzi, have a trauma. Anzi, hence our mockery. And we have my data trauma.
What Madara trauma?
Which one?
I don't know.
Which Madara?
Yeah, I don't know.
Tipe Manzita. Who traumatized you? Or which team in a Madara traumatized?
Because for me, you look at Knowledge Musona. I think he's still delivering at a reasonably high
100%. In terms of his performances.
100%.
One of the best in the league.
So I don't think you want to cut him adrift simply because you look at a number on a piece of paper.
Would you still have Knowledge in the national team squad?
I think I would.
Yeah.
I think I would. But I would use him differently. Because I think Knowledge, you want Knowledge.
Why would you have him in the national team squad?
Maddie?
Why would you?
Because I think he's one of our best finishers. That's why I said I'll use him differently.
Okay.
I think successive coaches have still tried to go back to the halcyon times when Knowledge could
he was mobile.
He can do awesome.
Yeah.
I think you move him into the center, higher up. Give him the
how old is Knowledge? Sean, can you get us Knowledge's age? How old is he? He's 34.
I think he's 34.
Yeah.
You're verified.
So you would play him as a nine?
I'd play him as the top nine. Probably
stick in the box.
A false nine type thing.
Yeah.
I think he can still do that. He can still execute at that level.
Stay in the box.
But use the width of the box and give us something when we get there.
According to Google, he's 35.
He's 35.
There we go.
So for me, my prime consideration right now would be I'm taking a look at when the next Africa Cup of Nations is and thinking to myself, whoever starts the campaign, whoever starts this year in national colours, everything has to build up to AFCON.
Okay.
So are you going to be of use to us
in
East Africa in 18 months time?
18 months,
yeah. Where will you be physically?
In
18 months? That for me is the prime consideration because kana uri muna atashanda naye for 6, 8, 9 months.
Yeah.
Then to be honest, we'd rather give a young attacker, we'd rather give a Thando Ngwenya the opportunity to grow into that role.
Certainly.
We'd rather have younger players come in and Mashani said take greater responsibility in terms of leading the attack.
Yeah.
Echirewa grow into the roles that are going to be there for them in the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years because they're young and they're growing into the roles. I'd rather those players are the ones that play the friendly matches in March, the friendly matches in June, start the campaign in September.
You make a scintillating and fine point, but my answer remains the same.
You reckon he'll be of use?
In 18 months, I think, here's why also, because you need to now look at the whole person. Knowledge Musona doesn't have riotous living. He doesn't drink. Doesn't carouse. Doesn't. He's not.
Missed a couple of games though in Morocco because of injury.
Yes.
So that's missing 2 out of 3 group games.
Yeah.
That's slightly concerning because we need a player like Knowledge to play all 3 games.
Now he came in with a hammy.
Mm-hmm.
Even to a young player that would happen. So let's see how his body management goes in the next 6 months. and then take it from there.
Your hit music station. My station. Your station. It's everybody's station. ZFM Stereo. All the rivalry.
Goal for Liverpool early on Derby Day.
All the stars.
There goes Haaland. He's on his way again. He's hungry. He scored. He always does. He always will. Nothing more, sir.
And all the game-changing moments.
Can he find a way through? You bet he can. That is top, top class.
All the updates from the Premier League on ZFM Sport.
Big game in England this weekend, and Liverpool and Manchester City are set to renew one of the Premier League's most significant rivalries when they meet at Anfield on Sunday. The fixture has often played a decisive role in recent title races, and while both clubs find themselves under different kinds of pressure this season, the stakes remain high. Ahead of the encounter, Liverpool manager Arne Slot believes style of play and entertaining fans is worth more than winning trophies in the long term at Liverpool.
As a manager, you can win the league, you can win the Champions League, you can win an FA Cup or a League Cup, but the biggest thing you can win is that you can play the nicest football to watch. Although at this moment of time, fans might argue this a little bit, but it is so absolutely something that I am aiming for. I always want to have the ball, I want it to be intense, I want the fans to like what they see. Not all of our fans or every single moment of the game see us as a joy to watch. And the hardest thing is, I even understand, because I agree with them. Trophies is one thing, but being a team or a club or a manager that stands for something, that stands for good football, is, I think, in the long term, even worth more.
Z. Chris is a nice thought.
lovely.
But in the modern day, is it practical?
No, I don't think so. I think you can only get so much grace for playing great football that doesn't necessarily get the results all the time. I think you can, for a certain period, it's great and the fans will love it. But there's like a bloodthirst that comes for trophies. And at some point, people want to see results. People want to see movement and evolution. And people want the silverware. So yeah, it'll last, but only for so long. And I think for Arne Slot, he's got to have something. Mm-hmm. So at least if Liverpool's playing some beautiful football, there's a fallback point. Because I don't think the results are coming the way he wants
Disagree with that.
Really?
And say that I think you have to know your club.
True.
And understand your club.
And
because there are certain clubs where when you're not winning silverware, what's important is that you play the game right. Mm-hmm. We've seen that with Barcelona, for example.
Yes.
So with Barcelona, it's imperative that you play in a certain way.
Yes.
And if you play in that way and still lose, they have got more time for you and more patience because you are keeping to the ethos of Johan Cruyff. You are sticking to what La Masia and what Barcelona is. Yes. And I think similarly, in many ways, to Liverpool. When you're struggling at Liverpool, it's important that you play well and you play honestly and you put 100%, and the fans will back you.
They'll back you.
We've never been fire the manager type club. Liverpool. Yeah. Liverpool has always been patient. Even when Hodgson, when things were going wrong, Hodgson was still given quite a bit of time to get
always
things right.
Applauded.
But with the pressure now that's there in the modern game, especially with the bigger clubs, the finances matter.
Yeah.
So you have to win things, and if you don't win things, you have to be competitive in competitions.
And at least
you have to go. Yeah, you have to go deep in the league. Mm. You've got to go deep in the Champions League. Yeah. You've got to keep bringing in the money. When the money stops coming in, it, I think, impedes your ability to play good football, because you can't buy the good players that can play the good football.
And the conversation around Slot is only because, and largely because, the club is seeing a Champions League qualification fly out the window, and that would be untenable for Liverpool because of the very fact that you make money, which is money. The rest of the weekend's key Premier League fixtures: Manchester United takes on Tottenham. Let's see if Michael Carrick can continue.
I think United can win that one.
I think they can, but it's a tricky one because Tottenham can do a job. Bournemouth versus Aston Villa. Now Arsenal versus Sunderland and Newcastle versus Brentford. Let's move to Italy with the Mercato drama now behind us. Lazio must find their composure when they travel north to take on the in-form Juventus. Juventus under Spalletti are a brand new animal, and because they wear black and white stripes, they're a brand new zebra. Chris,
definitely.
It's entertaining to watch because they're playing some good stuff.
Yeah, definitely. And again, we go back to that, the type of football that's being played. And also that Juventus, I think, has managed to pick themselves up and ensure that they're getting some results that compete. I think there was a bit of a slump there and there was concern. But I think now, fourth on the Serie A table, they're in the Champions League places and they're making a charge for it.
Yeah, they certainly are. And it's fun to watch for Juve to be up there doing a job and getting it right.
And they're defending a lot better. They've got good attacking players and they're defending better. You know, some of the older players are coming back into form. Mm-hmm. And so great, you know, players like Bremer at the back, you know, he's defending very well. And if you can you can keep out goals, De Gregori, their goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Very short. He's not the biggest goalkeeper, but my goodness, as a short stopper, he's one of the best in Europe.
Very, very good. And also good with the ball at his feet, so that's useful as well. Now, rest of you can see key Serie A fixtures. Napoli travels to Genoa, and then the league leaders, Internazionale di Milano, are at Sassuolo. Let's go to Spain. New signing, Ademola Lookman. He scored on his Atletico Madrid debut in a 5-0 rout of Real Betis that sent Diego Simeone's team to the semi-finals of the Copa del Rey last night. The two sides clash again in the league on Sunday night, this time at the Wanda Metropolitano. Let me stay with you, Mike. And Ademola Lookman, good signing for Diego Simeone, because he was... That's one of the areas he was lacking, getting goals. He wasn't closing out games, and invariably he's become a little bit porous behind.
I think they needed sort of like a versatile wide attacker.
Yeah, wide attacker.
Because Griezmann, I think, is now not as efficient as he used to
as
be.
He's
been a great asset over the years for Atletico Madrid, Griezmann. But now they've got Lookman. That's an option. And if you take a look at Giuliano Simeone as well, the son of the manager.
Yes, yeah.
Tricky player, feisty player, can not put in a good performance, but he's not consistent.
Yeah.
He's not able to do it game after game after game after game after game, and you need a reliable attacker and goal scorer. And I think Lookman is now a good option for Atletico Madrid.
Certainly a good option for Atleti. Rest of your weekend's key La Liga fixtures: Barcelona versus Rayo Vallecano, Real Sociedad takes on Elche, and then Real Madrid are at Valencia. Let's wrap it up with news out of Germany, where Bayern Munich have begun to stumble in the last few weeks as they now welcome a strong and entertaining Hoffenheim side to the Allianz Arena in Bavaria. Bayern manager Franz and company will be hoping that their current tough patch of form is simply a bit of a mini blip due to inertia rather than anything fundamental changing. So that basically points to the fact that Franz and company is going to keep doing what he's been doing, and it should work. You think to yourself, it should.
It looked like a system to me, so it should work. They've now got 3 wins on the spin, so in the league, that is. So I think they're going to be able to continue, and I think the positive momentum has begun again for them, which is very, very key.
Very, very key for Bayern and Munich. Now, let's give you the rest of the key weekend Bundesliga fixtures. Wolfsburg takes on Borussia Dortmund, Borussia Mönchengladbach takes on Bayer Leverkusen, and Cologne host RB Leipzig. All right, guys, that's all we have time for. We're back on Monday. Have a fantastic weekend, Zimbabwe. May God richly bless you. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Menande, out.
Lionel Messi has conquered his final peak. Lionel Messi has shaken hands with paradise.
The biggest sports stories.
Max Verstappen has taken the checkered flag to win the Japanese Grand Prix.
The biggest interviews.
These are happy tears, I guess. I don't know. And I wouldn't be...